Hello, everyone. Call me Leviathan. Last night, I only got 45 minutes of sleep. I think I finally fell asleep around 6:30 a.m. and woke up around 7:15, 7:20 a.m. So I only got about 40, 45 minutes of sleep. I then had to go pull a day out of nowhere that required a cognitive load for me that I don't know how I was able to pull off. The reason that I did not sleep as well as I would have liked to is because last night I was playing a game that is very special to a lot of people that I'm starting to recognize is really special, and it's called The Outer Wilds. If you've never played this game before and you're not, you don't play video games, then that's fine. But if you do play video games and you've heard of this game and have not played it, I'm not going to spoil anything because I think a big part of the game is exploring stuff for yourself, right? The Outer Wilds is a text-based adventure game, basically. A text-based walking simulator adventure game. And this is not a spoiler. The entire game takes place in a 22-minute loop in which you are trapped as you try to escape this time loop. And during your journey, you're trying to discover what's going on in this time loop and in this game, because it's a space exploration game, so there's all these different planets and all the different stuff. What matters is the fact that, you know, while I was playing this game, there's a really interesting thought that came to my mind today, which is that the entire time I had been playing the game, the way that the game plays is very, very non-linear. Basically, as you play the game, you discover bits and pieces about what's actually going on beneath the surface, and a story is sort of formed based on the pieces and of knowledge and information that you collect, right, as you play the game. And for the longest time, I hadn't gotten to the point where I had actually collected enough valuable information to start to piece a narrative together. But last night, a narrative started to get strung together because I had found a series of pieces of information that really started to make everything fit, if that makes sense. And the reaction I had to this was so profound, and I believe it would have probably been around maybe 1 in the morning that this would have happened. The information that I had was so, that the story that was being, that was unfolding in front of me was so deeply profound and meaningful. And around 1:30, I was thinking to myself, you know, should I go to bed or should I keep trying to figure this thing out? Should I keep trying to explore this universe? Because this isn't me playing something like PUBG or Fortnite or Call of Duty. This is me exploring and experiencing a deeply meaningful story created by some of the most talented artists ever born on this earth. And I have no idea how they ever managed to build this game. And I was thinking about it last night around 1:40 in the morning, and I was like, you know, I'm having this meaningful moment where the game asks you in a lot of ways to reflect on mistakes, given that you're in a time loop. That's not really a spoiler, but it is true that a lot of the game you're reflecting on your mistakes in life. And what's so interesting is the fact that, you know, I told myself, no, I got to just keep going because I really want to explore this world and I want to keep finding out what's going on. And, you know, the whole time I'm doing this, the whole time I'm trying to explore this world and get to the bottom of it, I can't help but feel like this game is more meaningful to me than any of the experiences I've had in a very long time. And it kind of hurt because I'm working a job that has now become dead end. I'm very blessed to have an amazing wife. Our relationship is pretty solid. The thing is that, you know, you could have everything in this world, but if you don't have a reason or a purpose behind it, you know, if you don't have a through line by which your existence on this planet matters, then it doesn't matter. None of it matters, you know? And I was having such a profound reaction, not just to this game, but to my own life and to the lives of the people that made it. And I just said, I would rather be playing this game and having this meaningful experience right now and have to tough through my day tomorrow, because, you know, if I try to go to sleep right now at 1 a.m. or whatever, or 12 or 11, all I'm going to be doing is just dreading going to work tomorrow with no, you know, meaningful experiences in between. And it's like that glimpse of meaning that I got at like 1 a.m. It was the strangest thing. And I normally would never do something like that, but it just overtook me. And what's interesting then is that now today, you know, I haven't, you know, I had to do my job, and the nature of what I do has, is very time sensitive, and it's very, it's relatively high pressure, high stakes during that time period. And so normally, you know, what I kind of noticed today, having had not gotten any sleep, like I slept like 45 minutes or whatever, you know, I've done this before. Like I pulled all nighters, but I was really trying to reflect on my day with no sleep after having had such a meaningful experience the day before, or I guess the morning before, night before. And I couldn't help but feel how numb I was, you know, like I know that the effects of sleep are like, we need to sleep as human beings, you know, but I think a lot of us at this point in life are just numb. Like, I just kind of think that we kind of learn to numb and drown ourselves out from pain and from suffering and from meaninglessness. You know, like you go through a life and it's meaningless. And meaning that there's no reason for what you're doing. You're just doing what you need to do to survive. But in a way that you know is going to not pay off in the future, you know, let's say financially, you know, you're doing a job that you know isn't going to remotely help you save for time. You can barely afford to live, you know, that kind of thing. And I think it's so interesting that we've learned to numb ourselves, you know, with all sorts of things, with like drugs and video games and food, lots of food and all sorts of different things. And it's really a shame because, you know, you just kind of feel like you're asleep all the time. You know, you just feel like you're sleeping. When you're awake, you feel like you're asleep. And like, you know, I don't know if it's a generational thing. I don't know if it's a new thing. You know, I don't know. Maybe, you know, I think we've all heard the phrase to, you know, suck it up and deal with it, you know, and stuff like that. But we've hit a point in society where so many problems have been solved. Not all of them, but we have solved the most problems in society ever today than in the rest of human history. You know, we have air conditioning and medicines and antibiotics and vaccines and, you know, plumbing and food and water. And yeah, it's junk sometimes, most of the time. And yeah, not everything's perfect, but we've hit a point in life where we have the ability to actually stop and reflect for the first time. And it's like really hard because we're now hitting that point where it's like, I don't know. I just feel like it's very tragic because I'm just one person, but it's very tragic that people are going through their life numb, you know, and asleep when they're really awake. And it's hurtful, you know, and it sucks. And I don't have an answer for it because I don't understand what we're supposed to do about that. You know, the feeling of even now I'm barely awake because I've been awake for nearly a day and a half with a nap in between. And yeah, I just feel numb. And of course I would, you know, I didn't sleep, but I mean, our whole society's numb though. You know, like I think a lot of us are recognizing the meaninglessness of life if we don't assign meaning to it, if we don't go out and find a way to make it meaningful, you know. And I'm at a point in my life right now where I'm not at the absolute bottom, but I'm at the lowest I've been in a very long time. And the way I'm looking to resolve that problem, you know, I'm trying to get a new job. I'm trying to provide for my family and however successfully. And it's really hard because while I'm trying to get out of the situation I'm in, I still have to tough out the situation that I'm in, and I can have hope that things get better. But, you know, it's like that numbness, that sense of like total emotional deadness. Like, I just don't care what happens to me. I don't care if, you know, I'm in a plane and the plane goes down, you know, I don't care if, and it's kind of impressive actually, because I was able to have conversations today that I normally wouldn't, because I didn't have the anxiety that I would normally have, you know, which is really interesting. So I didn't have that sense of, you know, I just didn't care. I didn't have that sense of, well, what if they think this about me? What if my, you know, my hair doesn't look right? Or what if my, you know, they think I smell weird or something? Like, I didn't have these anxieties because I was just so numb. But at the same time, I couldn't feel any of the reward for having the good conversations that I did. I was just like, yep, that's what I'm going to do. And when you have a numb society, people stop fighting for what they believe, and they stop fighting for what they want, and they stop dreaming, because numbness, you know, to be asleep when you're awake, that sense of numbness is like total emotional deadness. It's like a modern day self-termination exit strategy, if you know what I mean. And it sometimes, you know, environmentally it happens to us, and sometimes we're taught that that's how the world actually is. And I don't know if that's how the world is, but it's really hard to wake up sometimes from the numbness, especially if you're in an environment where you just can't, you're stuck. You know, if you're in an environment where, you know, this isn't me, fortunately, but you're living in a house with a bunch of roommates that totally trash the house, and, you know, your environment is a reflection of your mind, right? And so, you know, you leave your bedroom and all of a sudden the roommates that have trashed the place have, you know, you cannot get a footing on anything. The sink smells like rotten, disgusting, old, week-old chicken, and the trash hasn't been taken out in a week and a half, and you don't want to do it because you know it's the other guy's responsibility. And so you just go, well, I'm just going to not worry about this. And when you come home, it's still there and everybody avoids it because it's so bad, and there's, you know, reeking rotten eggs in a Tupperware container that haven't been touched in a month. And so you don't even go in the fridge anymore because you don't know whose responsibility it was, you know, and you end up with this terrifying, just dead perception to your environment. You're like, I just, even if you wanted to clean your environment up, you couldn't. And so you're just numb, you know, and that's me in a lot of ways. It's certainly me at my job. You know, I work in a job where I was promised things. I was promised things. And I was very naive to assume, especially given the nature of the connection through the job. You know, I it wasn't just a random employer. I knew the employer. They decided that they were going to go back on some things. And, you know, they twisted words in ways that I was really not a fan of. And, you know, and I have sort of gone numb to them. You know, I feel like I just, there's this sense of like, I don't care. But it's not about I don't care, like I don't care. It's more that like the consequences for my actions, like I'm detached from the consequences of my actions, because I couldn't possibly have emotions about this anymore. You know, I couldn't, because they're not going to do anything. They're not going to solve my problem. They're just going to hurt, you know? It's like, you know, you're going to have frustration and pain and anger about something. And so you just choose to accept it almost, but it's not true acceptance. It's just choosing to bury all of the things that, that would help you tough it out, you know, and you just become just a husk. You're just a walking skeleton. You know, you're just not a person anymore. You're whatever's left after you kill, that part of you, you know. You know, our whole society is asleep, and, you know, we believe that things are going to get better, they're going to get worse, or whatever, but I think it's interesting how little it takes to find meaning. Do you know what I mean? Like, this little old video game on Steam that cost $19 that I've had in my Steam library that I didn't finish for like 3 months, that I just happened to play again, that I sunk 20 hours into, that game was capable of providing more meaning to me than weeks and months, you know, at a job that, you know, doesn't care about me and just cares about itself. And of course, it's an organization. That's how it goes. But, and I'm not trying to pretend that like we should be having these big, insane, emotional experiences every day at work. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that the sense of meaning, the sense of I'm happy I'm here, I'm happy that I'm in this moment and I'm experiencing this. It's like those moments are actually, they're so available for us to have. I think it's just so hard for us to be, it's not even that it's hard for us to find them, but I definitely think that it's very challenging for us to find them when we're numb. You know, I chose to play the Outer Wilds because I think I saw some YouTube video about it or something and said, I'll give that a try, you know, but I wasn't actively going out of my way to have that meaningful experience, and it just showed up. I was like, what's all the fuss about? Everybody loves this game. I don't understand why. And then I was like, oh, wow, this is why. This is one of the most profound moments I've ever had in a video game. And the people out there that are feeling numb, you know, because they feel they need to protect themselves or they feel that they are stuck, you know, I am right there with you. There is no way. And, you know, and it's crazy because I sort of wonder if the numbness comes second, you know, so let's say that you think about it like this. Let's say that you really, you're super, super lonely and you really want, you know, a girlfriend or boyfriend, and it's just eating you up inside that you've, you know, like you just want that physical affection. You just want one good conversation. You just want to get coffee with somebody. You don't even need anything that big. It's not a life-changing, earth-shattering moment you need. You just want some connection. And despite every attempt to get that connection, it just doesn't happen for you. But it doesn't just not happen for a couple days or weeks. It doesn't happen for months, for years. Don't worry, I had that. So I'm very, very familiar. And so you decide to sort of destroy a part of yourself. You're like, I'm not going to let myself be vulnerable like that anymore. I'm just going to let that part of me go. And you just stop feeling, you know, you say, I can't have the thing that I want to have. I can't have that relationship. I can't have that friendship, that camaraderie, that joy of that happiness that all these other people seem to have. I don't get to have that. And you have this sort of weird pseudo acceptance, because it's not really acceptance. It's just this weird way of like perceiving time almost. It's like you perceive time as me, lonely, sad, and depressed in this moment. This is how it's going to be forever. And it's like the past and the present and the future, they all just kind of blend together. And you're like, this is it. This is the rest of my life. And it's like that part you accept, but you can't accept the idea that you're going to be alone forever. And so you like insulate, you know, you take the thing that you can't accept because it couldn't possibly be true that you're going to be alone forever. You know, and you put up the wall that says, this is me, when in reality, you really don't want it to be you. And then you sort of abandon that which you abandon that part of you that hopes for things to get better. You know, you just go, well, you know, silly me, I, you know, I thought it would be this way or that way, you know. And if you had to ask me what I was numb to, what I'm asleep to, it's just the people that have lied to me. I just don't trust people the way I used to. I really just don't. I just don't anymore. And I haven't always been a good person, you know. I really struggle to hold up my end of the deal when other people don't hold up their end of the deal. I really got to be honest. I do. I really struggle with that. because I commit myself 100%. And when someone drops it a little bit, I go, oh no, not like the last 20 people, not like the last 10, the last five, you know, the last one who really hurt me, you know? And so it's really challenging because me not trusting people, you know, it's like if somebody offers me a job or someone wants to work with me or someone just wants to hang out with me or talk to me and stuff, it's very hard for me to have a, I can have friendships with people pretty well, but a connection that's a business connection, that's kind of tough, you know, because how do I know you're not just doing this for you? Because you are doing it for you. You know, if you're a business owner and you want to work with me, you just want to make money. And so do I. But how do I know you're not going to just take advantage of me, you know? And so when I meet people, I usually give them the benefit of the doubt. I give them 110% of me, you know? I invest what I can and I do the best I can. And when my expectations for how it's going to go become violated like that, I go, oh, you know, and it's exactly the same as a regular betrayal, you know, in a relationship where it's like, not only is this person not, you know, this person, the situation, this organization, this relationship, not only is this not what I thought it was now, but it is retroactively not what I thought it was. It's never what I thought it was. I thought it was X. I thought we were X. I thought things were going to be X, but they were actually Y the whole time. And then how does that make me feel about myself? It makes me feel like, oh, I was duped. I was foolish for trusting the person or the organization or the people. And so why would I risk having my emotions be hurt, having my feelings be hurt in those situations? You know, instead, I'm going to do the best job I humanly possibly can for me so that I grow as a person. But I'm not going to put my feelings on the line for somebody that doesn't care about me. You know, an organization that doesn't care about me. I'm not going to put my heart and soul out there for them to stomp on it, you know? And that betrayal, which I'm very well versed in. I mean, that's a whole nother topic for a very, very long episode later or something. But for me, betrayal is what numbs me. Betrayal puts me to sleep, I would say. I don't do well with people lying to me and being dishonest with me, you know? And I'm not the only one. And more importantly, that's not the only thing that puts us to sleep, you know, where we forget, oh, it's been 3 months. What the heck? It was just fall. And now it's snowing. What? Where'd the time go? Well, I was dead inside. It's like, oh, that's where I was. I hibernated emotionally. And for the first time I woke up and realized that I did that. And it's like, oh my gosh, you know, and it hurts because you're like, I wish I could have more meaningful experiences, you know. I got a buddy that just lived, that just moved to Colorado out in the mountains. And gosh, he sends me videos and photos of the mountains. And like, that's the kind of thing that makes me go like, why? No matter what happens, I mean, I don't live in Appalachia or the Rockies or Norway or any of those, you know, Norwegian, Sweden Alps. I don't live in those environments or know those social systems or any of that stuff. But like, no matter how bad it is, you wake up at the end of the day and you look in the backyard and there's a mountain in your backyard. There's a mountain that is billions of times bigger than you, which makes you not only feel small, but it helps you appreciate how big life can be. And it's like, we don't have that out here in Michigan. We got water and trees and deer That's it. And it makes you go, why would people even live out here? You know, like there's nothing out here where you wake up in the morning, you're like, yeah, you know, we got snow. We got snow. It goes well with the trees. Like, that's all we got, you know? So these are just some thoughts I had that I thought were worth sharing, because I don't get to be in a state of numbness like this very often, where it's so pronounced. I mean, I have it, but it never gets so pronounced that I can actively reflect on it. And so I wanted to do that this time and just, you know, say that life being worth living isn't even a conversation you can have with someone that's emotionally asleep. You know, they can get out of bed. You know, they can do some chores. They can go to their job, but they're gone. Like the version of themselves that they thought they were going to be, they gave up on a long time ago. Or they haven't given up on that person yet, but they have no idea where to even start. They have no clue on direction, on goals. Like myself, I don't know what my next opportunity is going to be. I don't know where my next job is going to take me. I don't know how my career is going to go. And I have hope, because I'm fortunate enough to have evidence to suggest that it's going to go okay. But there's a lot of people that don't have that. Most people don't have that. You know, they don't have the kind of, they don't have those resources or that evidence. Or they have evidence suggesting the contrary. They had one bad interaction or one bad experience, and now their life's ruined and they can't find, there is no hope. Or they, you know, they have evidence to suggest that it's over, and they can't start over, and there's nothing left, you know? So what do you do when you're numb? You look inside and you figure out what happened, and you figure out why that thing happened to you, and you figure out whose fault it is, and you think through how you feel about what that person did to you or what those people did to you, you know? And for me, what I'm doing is I'm saying, I'm not going to let people like that ever stop me from becoming who I want to be. And that scares me to death, because that means that I've set stakes with myself. I've set conditions for failure. And one of my biggest fears ever is failing. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if I'm going to be successful or not. I don't know what's going to happen in my life. But I reflect very often on the people in my life that have changed their mind on me. You know, I've made big decisions for people and they've said, well, actually, you know, you're not really worth it. After promising me, not even promising me anything per se, just suggesting. I'm at the point now where I don't trust the world, but not in some hardened criminal sense, more in the sense that's like my entire relationship with reality is so disjointed and chaotic that I go out with basically no expectations into a lot of things, including the unknown, which I just talked about. And I do this so that I minimize the chances of pain and suffering, but also so that at any moment's notice, I minimize the chances that there will be long-term suffering and betrayal and pain there, and so that I can take the steps to do the next thing. You know, you can be betrayed by more than just people. You can be betrayed by an expectation you set of the world that has nothing to do with them. You know, you can believe that things are going to get better based on evidence that has nothing to do with somebody telling you that it's going to get better. You know, you set expectations for the world or for something based on evidence. And then, oh, it turns out it's not true. Okay, well, my incentive to set those expectations going further goes down. You know, if I find somewhere to work or I found a relationship to be in or something and I go, man, maybe this is going to get better. It's going to get better. You know, I tell myself that. I tell myself it's going to get better. And then it doesn't. Who betrayed who? I betrayed myself. So who's to blame? Well, me. So then can I trust myself? Well, no. So what can I trust? How do you set expectations, reasonable expectations for the world? Even if you try to set reasonable expectations, you run the risk that you'll still have them be violated, which has been my experience, where I set reasonable expectations and they're still violated. And in those situations, I go numb and I go to sleep and I say, I gave you what you asked of me and you've not returned the favor. And so this is how things are going to be now. And it's fascinating too, because you know, I don't want it to be this way. I want things to be better. And I want life to be something where I can wake up in the morning and rely on people. Like, that would be the ultimate antithesis to all of this. I'm not talking about anything perfect, but, you know, you want to wake up in the morning and rely on people. Rely on your environment. I think that's one of the reasons our whole generation, pretty much everybody under the age of 25, I mean, obviously, there's a lot more people that are older, but I just know people that are 25, 27 and younger, all the way down to the high school, middle school kids, you know, is that we are having trouble relying on people and relying on the future. And so we all have anxiety because we're like, will I ever retire? You know, I think that like decades ago, it was the societal expectation that you would conform into this little sort of, at least in the United States, you conform into this sort of family unit. You'd work out in a certain way. You would live your life a certain way. And you would do that specifically back in like the 50s. We did that to avoid communism, you know, like that was the reasoning. But it was like, well, you'll eventually retire because of the way money works and yada, yada, yada. And it's like, it's not like that anymore. It's like we just don't trust people. We don't trust the world because we were told that going to college would make a difference and we would be able to retire and we would be able to afford to live and we wouldn't have to do multi-family generational homes in order to be able to retire. You know, like this is the most stupid, insane, idiotic. It's not even that that's the problem. It's that that's we were told otherwise. Growing up, you're not taught that. You're taught that, you know, go out and chase your dreams and all this stuff. And you're never actually, it's terrifying to hit that point, to realize that life is not what I was taught it was. It has nothing to do with even my parents or anything like that. It's just, you have to go live life to find out what life is like. So any, for you, based on your experience and with your outlook on the world, with your lens, you literally cannot know what life is like until you see it with your own eyes. And some people, some kids see that at 3 years old, 2 years old, and it changes them forever. And it's horrifying for them, you know, through their lens. And I just don't, I see so much pain there for billions of people where we're all like, screw this, you know, like we're just like, we don't trust, you know, we go to a job, you know, even in high school, college, you're like, I'm going to go do a job. Okay, what job? And for what? So that I can retire. But you don't know if you're going to retire. You don't know if you're going to be successful. You don't know anything. You're like, nothing is certain anymore. You know, so you wake up in the morning with no idea what's going to happen. And so you just choose to emotionally just detach entirely and say, well, I hope it works out. You know, I hope things get better. And it's hard, you know, because I can't blame people for doing that. I can't blame that. I just recently said that in the last episode that, you know, you can't wait around and hope that things get better. And that's true, you know. So maybe when you're asleep to yourself and you're dead to yourself, it's like you're not hoping anymore. You've accepted things aren't going to get better, you know, and you're just asleep and it's like, I've met people like that, and it's hard. It's really hard, especially people you love and you care about, to be like, well, this is it, you know? And I wish there was a better answer. I wish there was a better solution. You know, there's therapy that can be done and a lot of that good stuff, but a society that needs therapy to keep going is a problem with the society. You know, I think that that's more than enough for me to conclude. I think that's a good place to end it. Just some thoughts that I wanted to leave you with today. I'll see you all on the other side.